Well, hello there. This is Evangelist Timothy Gruber here at the Word of the King, the Holiness Bibles for the Blind.
Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 4 tells us that where the Word of the King is, there is power. We may say unto him, what doest thou?
All right. St. Mark chapter 13, verse 28 through 37. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. No branch is yet tender, put forth leaf. You know that summer is near. So ye in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. So of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. Son of man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house, gave authority to his servants, to every man his work. Commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at cock crowing, or in the morning. Thus coming suddenly, he finds you sleeping. What I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Okay, there's been much talk about these blood moons that have been occurring over the last going on year and a half, and there are yet blood moons set to take place in September of this year. And one famous pastor here in the United States of America, who I myself believe is no doubt a wolf in sheep's clothing, John Hagee. I say wolf in sheep's clothing because he doesn't believe that Jews need to be born again in the same manner that a Gentile needs to be born again in order to go to heaven. John Hagee basically believes in a damnable doctrine known as ethical salvation, or ethnic salvation. Ethnic salvation, John Hagee believes in as it pertains to the Jew. Basically because they're Jewish and got Jewish blood in them, they don't need to acknowledge the Messiah, Jesus Christ. So Hagee is a wolf in sheep's clothing, and he's a very big promoter of this hype involving the four blood moons, or as Pastor John Muncy has titled here on www.blessedquietness.com. Again, www.blessedquietness.com. Pastor John Muncy has here four blood moons, four red flags over America by Pastor John Muncy. And I'm now officially just going to read here what John Muncy has put up here in regards to this matter. John Muncy starts off, this is the single most deadly prophetic heresy in many years. It is based on something real and on biblical Jewish feast day. But this teaching now promoted by John Hagee is profoundly heretical and violates the very words of Jesus Christ. My perspective on the upcoming Tetrad, Pastor John Muncy. I've been accused of walking where angels fear to tread before, and I'm thinking this post may get me into some hot water with some of you dear friends here on Facebook, but I really hope you will hear me out before jumping to conclusions. No doubt, by now the majority of you are aware of the theory regarding the upcoming blood moon that is making its round in many Bible-believing churches, the first blood moon appearing on this Tuesday. To be honest with you, I fear that this is another one of those teachings that has gotten people fired up only to face a big letdown. Nearly everywhere I go, someone is asking me about it, so I thought I'd take some time to try and address it here on Facebook. This will be slightly long, but I think it will be worth your time to read. Just so you know my opinion from the start, I will spill the beans and say that I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but the rapture will not occur on April 15, 2014. If you disagree with me, we can talk about it on Wednesday, April
16th. Damn.
Yet, there are some who are taking this blood moon theory way out of proportion, even though most who are teaching on this don't believe that. However, some believe the Great Tribulation could be started on one of the blood moons. I'm convinced that the first of the four blood moons will be like every other day. No big significant change in our world. And again, later in October, when the second one occurs, and then when the other two blood moons show up in 2015, I'm convinced that they will not usher in the coming of Christ, nor will that be the beginning date for the Great Tribulation. Of course, not everyone who believes the blood moon theory believes that either. There are a large number of people expecting major events to arrive on those dates. The blood moon dates are as follows: April 15th, 2014, April 8th, or October 8th, 2014, April 4th, 2015, September 28th, 2015. Let's go back to how this teaching got started. Back in 2008, a pastor from the state of Washington began teaching his small congregation that Jesus could possibly return in the fall of 2015 based upon some alignments of Jewish festivals with lunar events that he had been studying. His insights caught on and soon became among the latest predictions from prophecy sensationalists who seemed to enjoy trying to find the hidden secret of the date of the second coming. So with the help of the fast-moving ideas on the internet and those who love sharing the latest Christian fads and trends, the blood moon teachings brought about a fresh new excitement to those looking for his appearing. And as we have discussed in the past, these great discoveries mostly generate a lot of hype without having much substance. As believers, we naturally all want to believe our Lord is coming soon, so we anticipate it with great longing. And it really seems natural that when we hear a new convincing bit of information, we admittedly jump on it. And I believe this is the case of this latest discovery of the blood moon tetrad. I won't go into all the details of what the blood moon tetrad is about. Most of you already know, so I will skip right to the reasons why I'm not so convinced that this is the real deal. This is where I'm going to lose some of you, but since you've read this far, stick with me a little further, please. I've had some red flags going up about this some time, and I don't know what to do about it. I purposely avoided talking about it, hoping it would die down, but it hasn't. And seeing that this week starts the blood moons off, I thought I would share my thoughts with you all. My intention is to help bring credibility and integrity to such a wonderful and glorious doctrine of the return of Christ, and to avoid being overly sensational. The return of Jesus Christ is indeed an exciting and pivotal teaching from the Bible, taking up about a fourth of the scripture, so we really do need to know what we are talking about. So let me first make this clear. I wholeheartedly do believe that our Lord Jesus is coming back to establish his kingdom upon this earth, and I believe it won't be long until that happens. As any honest Bible student can see, so many things are happening just exactly as the scripture said they would happen in the last days. So please don't read my word as skeptical about this wonderful truth in the word. I'm all for that blessed hope, but I feel it will not be long until it comes to pass. But with that said, I'm a little apprehensive about the blood moon theory, and here are just four my red flag concerns with the blood moon premise. Red flag number one, considering the source. The originator of the blood moon theory was Mark Blitz, founder of El Shaddai Ministry. However, his teaching did not become very popular until after Pastor John Hege was exposed to Mark Blitz's theory and was able to expand it in a message he preached in his church, which later was transcripted into a best-selling book, Four Blood Moons, Something is About to Change. Pastor Hegarty openly admits he got the idea from Mark Blitz and credited him for it. One reason Mark Blitz was not very popular in among mainline Christian circles is due to the fact he is part of a heretical Hebrew Roots movement, which attempts to get Christians to convert back into Judaism to the strict adherence to the Old Testament law. This movement, which feels it is wrong to convert Jews to Christianity, openly rejects the writings of the Apostle Paul and teaches that Paul was a false apostle due to his teaching against the Old Testament law of the Jewish custom. There's even a picture up here, Mark Blitz giving a Masonic, albeit pre-Masonic, hand sign.
God help us.
Pastor goes on. Pastor Mosey, while there is nothing wrong with observing the Sabbath or celebrating Jewish feasts or adhering to kosher laws, it becomes wrong when it is taught that one must observe these laws to be right with God. The Apostle Paul had labeled the Judaizers of his day as enemies of the cross of Christ. For he taught that our righteousness is not found in ongoing mandatory observances of the customs and laws of Judaism, but in the finished work of Christ at the cross. Many well-meaning people have fallen for this teaching because they have studied the rich truths found in the Old Testament and of our Jewish roots and have begun to feel obligated to obey them today. The Apostle Paul dealt with this in great detail in the epistles of Galatians, Philippians, and Colossians, showing that what was accomplished at the cross by Jesus the Messiah had set us free from the bondage that comes from the unattainable rules of the law. Of course, once one gets started in trying to observe the law, they get pulled away from the message of grace and go back into a works-based religion, and Paul accuses them of being fallen from grace, Galatians 5, verse 4. Mark Blitz also teaches a very strange form of interpreting and understanding Scripture through a mystical belief system known as Kabbalah. This form of Jewish mysticism seeks to constantly find hidden truths not revealed to the average reader of Scripture. The Blood Moon teaching is a perfect example of hidden truths. Tragically, this form of interpretation and teaching leads to all kinds of prideful attitudes and heretical beliefs which reject the simplicity of Christ, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. And the cross, as it divides into a sea of extra-biblical revelation. It is very important to remember that the teaching concerning the tetrads of Blood Moons are not stated anywhere in the Bible. This is an example of extra-biblical revelation. They should be referred as such. This should be a red flag to everyone. Many who believe and teach Hebrew roots doctrines stress the importance of reading and speaking Hebrew because you won't attain the level of truth unless you do. This, of course, leads to a selected breed of special Christians, sometimes referred to as the wise virgin, who have a higher status and insight than other Christians. These people have a tendency to belabor the importance of not saying Jesus, because that is not his Hebrew name. Teaching goes so far to say that unless you say his name right, Yeshua, you are not a real Christian, but a Greek pagan. They further claim to have a special insight into knowing God and his word better than anyone else. In his book, Mark Blitz argues that one cannot understand the Bible without understanding Hebrew. This teaching goes so deep that one must spend years studying the hidden truths in each letter of the Hebrew and its numerical value, so one may decode the real message that is hidden from the average person. However, according to the Scripture, the biblical requirements for understanding the depths of God's Word has nothing to do with knowing the letters of the original Hebrew and their numerical meaning, but has everything to do with having the Holy Spirit, the author of the Bible, dwelling in your life. Note, I want to make it clear here that I appreciate many things that Pastor John Higgy stands for when it comes to Israel and prophecy. Now, this is John Muncy now saying this, of course. He is a true friend of Israel and has taken a bold stand for many godly issues. However, I don't think he is infallible, and I'm sure he doesn't claim to be. Like all of us, he can make mistakes, and we should give him the benefit of being wrong every now and then. Now, I myself, again, I'm a firm believer John Hagee is a wolf in sheep's clothing, and he really isn't a friend of Israel in the end, because if you're going to teach, they don't have to. If you're going to teach Israel the lie that they don't have to acknowledge their Messiah, you're going to teach any one Jew that the lie that they don't have to, that he or she does not have to acknowledge his or her Messiah in order to be reconciled to God and be guaranteed the presence of God for all you can be in glory. I think somebody who lies like that is not really a true friend. So I can't say that I consider John Hagee a friend of Israel myself. Nevertheless, John Muncy goes on here, red flag number two, not being honest with the actual dates and results of Blood Moon. Contrary to what Mark Glitz and John Hagee strongly implied, the past Blood Moon Tetrad did not precisely coincide with direct events for Israel. This is a foundational part of the teaching, but a major oversight of most. Actually, some of the dates of the Blood Moons are way off, and are hardly served as warning signs and predictions, since they occur long after the event itself. Also, there is a lack of consistency on whether the Blood Moons are prophetic warnings of evil events to come for Israel or other lands. Both are careful to point out that NASA proves this, but they stress the truth in their statement, first of all because NASA has nothing to do with the biblical insights they are purporting, but merely records that various phases of moons, including all lunar eclipse and blood moon dates. If you want to do your own study, you will find that the dates do not perfectly align with Jewish events. For example, both Mark Blitz and John Hagee skipped the first two tetrads, because they seemingly can't be associated directly with the exact date of any Jewish event. So they start with the third set of tetrads and endeavor to connect the Blood Moons with the Spanish Inquisition. This will be important to read carefully. Even though the Spanish Inquisition began in 1478 with the royal decree in March of 1492, the Blood Moon did not actually occur until a year later, in 1493 and again in 1494. That's hardly what I would call a prediction. If the first Blood Moon did not happen until a year later, and the second one did not occur until 2 years later. The way it is presented is that the Blood Moons happened right before the Inquisition, not years later. The next so-called Tetrad match, which Mark Glitz and John Hagee mentioned, has to do with Israel becoming a nation. Of course, that glorious event prophesied throughout the Old Testament took place on May 4th, 1948. But again, the Blood Moon did not occur until a year later in 1949, with the second Blood Moon showing up in 1950. Sure, that's pretty close, but that is hardly a predictive Blood Moon, being that it happened a year later. Pretty close works with horseshoes, but not with bottle props. One studies the exact dates of the Blood Moons around the dates they appear. They will find they actually had nothing to do with any of the newly found Israel war victories, or even the dates of when the UN made an official acceptance of the nation of Israel. So, to be honest, the dates aren't matching very well at all on this event, unless you think that way after an event is somehow predicted. Here again, if the Blood Moons would serve as a prophetic sign, you would think they would at least precede the event to give a future warning of what was about to happen to Israel. But they don't show up until way after the event. This is important. Next in line are the set of Blood Moons that were associated with the Six-Day War. However, in this case, only one of the four Blood Moons preceded the war, and it was not a bad event, but a good event. First Blood Moon on March 24th happened just a little over 2 months before the war. But it wasn't until 10 months after the war was over that the second Blood Moon appeared, with then the last two Blood Moons showing up a full year after that. This does not seem to reflect the precise timing these gentlemen are claiming happened. I think we all know how easy it is to close your eyes and shoot at a target and hit it 25% of the time. Prophecy is about precision, not hit and miss. Deuteronomy 18, verses 20-22. Prophet which shall presume to speak a word of my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, but that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou say in thy heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, the thing follow not, nor come to pass. That is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. The prophet hath spoken it presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid of him. Another point that needs to be pointed out is that some speak of the Blood Moons as being an omen of bad events, yet Israel powerfully and miraculously prevailed in this war and gained much ground, so one must ask, are the Blood Moons warnings of bad events or signs of good events? And how would one know which is true? Many are now predicting that something evil is about to strike Israel at the upcoming Blood Moons, it is clear that not all blood moons happen to be connected to an evil event, only adding another bit of confusion in the mix. Which is it? I hope you are seeing my point here. Either it's an indication of something bad or something good, because otherwise it doesn't seem to be so predictive. How is it predictive if I claim in May something is going to happen to you? Well, sure, something is going to happen. That's a no-brainer. These blood moons are somehow always meant to be signs to be used by God. Forewarn or foretell Israel and the world, and God seems to have a bad system of dates, Betty, since he misses the dates pretty badly, and I don't think God is that bad at his math. Consider this. If I give a prophetic prediction that Israel is going to face a hard time in a two-year space of time, such as 2014, 2015, that really isn't so profound, friend. That precious nation has almost non-stop problems. Every single month, you can almost close your eyes and lay your finger on an open calendar, and where your finger falls, say there's going to be something important for Israel on that date. And you would be right. The odds are that for the next 2 years, 4 years, 6 years, etc., Israel is going up against many serious threats, victories. Personally, I would not consider something to be a prophetic warning. It shows up 2 years after the event actually happened. This is not much of a heads up, folks. And neither would I consider them effective at predicting bad events or some are good events. It's all very confusing if you look at the evidence. Something is consistent in the conclusion. Obviously, something isn't adding up here either. And to be frank, I find it to be rather deceptive that when blood moon dates are referenced and the precise timing as being associated with exact dates and events in Israel, they are stretching the truth a little. I would hope that these teachers would not be so dishonest to lay out truth without manipulating the evidence to fit their theory. To make it appear the blood moons were always before the event, rather than months and sometimes years after the event, and to claim they are warning signs of evil coming, certainly reflects on the credibility of this teaching. This is why we all need to do our homework before joining the band. That is why the Berean Christians were seen as more noble, because they searched the scriptures daily to see what was being taught was truth. Acts 17, verses 10 and 11. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming hither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those of Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. It is always very important to keep in mind that the Hebrews use a lunar calendar, so it is no big surprise that full moon lunar eclipses as well as blood moons which show up in the Jewish holiday. It was designed that way by God. Dozens and dozens of lunar eclipses coincided with the Jewish festivals of Passover and Feast of Tabernacles. This should not shock anyone who is aware that the Jewish calendar purposely follows the moon cycles. Make no mistake, I do believe that very crucial things are ahead for the Jewish people. The majority of Bible prophecy surrounds the people in the nation of Israel. This has nothing to do with phases of the moon, all Jewish festivals, despite the attempts connected to. It's not enough to take leaping conclusions. But to be a bit deceptive with the dates and results is really wrong. Nothing is gained by doing such things. It only reveals slippery research that has gone into the issue. Setting dates and fit with Jewish festival is interesting, but not necessarily accurate. One such example of this teaching is the one that insists that the rapture must take place during the Jewish festival of the Feast of Trumpets. While that sounds like a great opportunity for Christ to come for his church, that would be 51 other weeks off the calendar for him not to come. And I am convinced that this is bad teaching, for the Lord may truly come today. Saying he has to come on that Jewish celebration leaves us with month after month of not looking for his coming. This doesn't line up with proper truth regarding the immediacy of that day. Red flag number three, the insistence of setting dates. There seems to be a non-stop insistence among believers to overlook our Lord's clear teaching that no one knows the day or the hour of his return. Some will even go as far as say that even though they may not know the exact day or hour, that they can at least know within the week or month. This is simply not true, friends. Nothing seems to be more rebellious than the person who has convinced himself and others that they actually do know when Jesus is coming. The point the Lord is clearly making is stop setting dates. That's a stop, folks. It's totally wrong. It's trying to make Jesus a liar, and it has never worked anyway. Every single dating center has been proven wrong. Every other one will be wrong, too. So, lock down. No one knows. No matter how convincing they sound, no matter how much proof they have, no one knows. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Matthew 24, verse 36. So unless you are God the Father, then shut your mouth about your date, remain to look like a fool in front of people. The whole point of not knowing is to remain ready at all times. You want to be alert at all times. That's what watch means. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. Matthew 25, verse 13. So if someone sets dates, ignore them from now on, and that includes blood, news, death traps. Red flag number four. Biblical events simply don't match the blood moon. When people speak of blood moons being in the Bible as a part of the end times, they fail to see the huge difference in the common occurrence of blood moon phases as they compare to the dramatic events in Bible prophecy. Please read this passage very carefully. Revelation 6, verses 12 through 4. And I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely fig, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their place. Do you notice that? Anyone paying attention can see that what is happening here in the sixth seal is way more than blood moon we will be seeing in 2014 and 2015. The events listed above are many times more extraordinary than typical lunar eclipses and blood moons. This passage plainly speaks of huge catastrophe that changes everything. Note that the sun becomes black while at the same exact time the moon turns blood red. This is not normal, because it is impossible for a normal solar eclipse and a normal lunar eclipse to happen at the same time, other than this being an unusual event of biblical proportion. Added to the sun and moon, massive amounts of asteroids, from the Greek word used when referring to stars, fall to the earth, causing untold damage along with gigantic earthquake strikes, so powerful that mountains and islands move out of their places, and the heavens above the earth rip open. Ladies and gentlemen, this is much more significant than a blood moon tetrad. This is a world-shaking devastation of planet Earth, and will be occurring in the beginning of the Great Tribulation. Make no mistake about it, this is not some natural astronomical occurrence that NASA can figure out. This is one of the most traumatic and dramatic events in the future of this planet. This is a part of the day of the Lord, in which this world will get a major wake-up call. When Joel and Ezekiel and others write this experience, you can mark it down, there will be no doubt about what happens next. You can read these following passages, Joel 2, verse 10, Joel chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, Matthew chapter 24, 29, Mark chapter 13, verses 24 25, Matthew chapter 21, verses 25 26, Ezekiel chapter 32, verses 7 and 8, Isaiah chapter 13, verse 10, 13, and Isaiah chapter 34, verse 4. And you will be hard-pressed to try to convince yourself that this is just from the four blood moon tetrads. Blood moon tetrads are not what these prophets are talking about. Absolutely no way. This future phenomenon is so bad that according to Isaiah, it will actually alter the Earth's orbital position, so it will be moved out of its place. This is obviously something more than a blood moon. It's far more terrifying and devastating. This event will find even influential people running to the caves to hide out of fear. Revelation 6, verses 15 and 16. Kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captain, and the mighty man, and every bond man, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. Dead of the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him, dead from the throne and from the Lamb, the wrath of the Lamb. Again, Revelation 6, verse 15, 16. The kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captain, the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, dead of the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that stood on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. This event will happen. There are many other things that will lead up to this event. People will take time to read their Bibles instead of following the latest fad, they will not fall for all this other stuff. I hope that after reading this post, someone will gather enough courage to stand with Scripture alone and stop falling for these huge leaps and conclusions that seem to keep much of the church in an endless carrot-dangling progression. We need to stop this piped-up prophecy approach and let the Word of God speak plainly without making big mistakes. Finally, the pastor concludes this thought. It's a no-brainer to say that things are about to happen in Israel soon. The Middle East is about to explode. Blood moons are no blood moons. Something significant is about to happen. God's chosen people and God's chosen land. 2014 and 2015 will be years to keep your eye on Israel for sure. They may be very significant years for Israel. Bible prophecies indeed. Or they may be calm years. But we do know that things are going to get much worse before they get much better. One final point. Because of the tilt of the earth, three of the blood moon tetrad will not be visible at all in Israel. Only the last one will be visible, and that only partially. This is important if the blood moons are to serve as some type of sign to the nation of Israel and its people. Bottom line, forget about moon phases and planet alignments. Start aligning your life with the Bible. Think about it. John Mutz.
Well, we're told, but as many as are the works of the law are under the curse. The cursed. The everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them, we're told in the book of Galatians, all but here it is. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Repent ye and believe the gospel. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, shall cleanse you from all sin, for if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Menial, mortal, sin, whatever you call it, all unrighteousness. God is faithful to forgive those who confess their sins to him through faith in Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection alone. For by grace he is saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. Call upon the Lord today. This is Evangelist Timothy Gruber. Until next time, God bless you and yours.